or and when you would use that over standalone. If the applicant applies by themselves, but they will use a mixture of internal and external services, will this be a contract or subaward for that detailed budget page? For example, we would procure some of the external services and support the rest of the project with internal. Also, do we need to break down these costs when breaking out project goals to indicate external versus external versus internal workload, excuse me. Would you need to indicate this in detail under the summarized qualifications of the project manager and key personnel as well, including all external and internal resources used to see this project to completion? This is in reference to the mistake number 8 on our slide.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, there's a whole bunch of questions. Before you take that off, can we just go one at a time?
Absolutely.
All right. So let's ink. Okay. I wonder if we should probably go back. Using an in-kind service is not okay. Would you provide some specific example of direct funding or in-kind services, and when would you use that over standalone? I think we're mixing that up. So standalone means that you are the Department of Environmental Quality in State A, and you're writing a grant, and you're not going to work with anybody else. All the money's coming to your state. Okay? You could, in that situation, use a combination of direct funding and in-kind. So let's say got a $200,000 grant, and you needed $100,000 for your salary, your fringes, your travel, okay, that you're going to do in-house, and you want to keep that for yourself. But you're doing some work, example with our drinking water program, and they have several contracts that you can use for Sidwe's Prime development. You might decide to go ahead and in your application indicate that you would like to have EPA provide in-kind services under that particular program, under their contracts to help support your work on Sidwe's Prime. Okay? So that is an example, and that stuff is a contract. Let me go back to your question. If the applicant applies by themselves, but they will use a mixture of internal and external services, I'm not sure. Will this be a contract or a subaward? No. If you're using, and I'm assuming, and you can write down if I'm wrong on this, I think you mean by external services, you mean that you're going to use a contractor, correct? A private consulting firm, is that correct?
Seth, if you're on the line, please feel free to unmute yourself if you're able, or to answer in the chat box.
So, by pressing star six.
By pressing
Yeah.
star six.
So the bottom line is, I'm thinking that what you mean is using contractor, and that is a contract.
Hey, yeah, I'm using contractor services. Yes, correct. Sorry.
So that's contract. Okay, also, do we need to break down these costs and breaking out project goals to indicate external versus? Some people have done that. It wouldn't hurt. As long as, but you don't have to do that for each. We haven't asked for that for each output. If you know it and you can do it, that's fine. But where you do need to do it, Seth, the reason that might be useful to you is if you go on to the 424 form. Have you ever applied for these? I just learned about that a few years ago myself.
No, I have not.
Okay, and you know, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that might be a good thing to put into this presentation next time. But there's a form called the 424 form, and they have like object classes. And in those object classes, what you'll see is I can't remember it all off the top of my head because I don't have the form right here, and I will bring it for the next call. But they'll have like personnel, fringes, indirect, they'll have contract, and then they'll have subawardee, which, you know, subgrant, which you would put. They have a whole list of about 10 different categories that have to be filled in by you guys or by your financial people. And whatever you put into those categories in the 424, you need to put into, they need to match what you're putting into your budget for the for your budget section. So I would say that you may want to, and we should probably get an example of that. The table we showed you on the screen here is doesn't do that, but you might want to do another table. People do that, where they break out what they have in that narrative mirrors what's in the 424. So I think the answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
You just had one more
question. Would you indicate this in detail under the summarized quality, of the project manager? Also, do we need to break down the cost? Would you need to indicate this in detail under the summarized qualification of the project manager and key personnel as well, including all external and internal resources? Yeah. If you're going to use a contractor, you should, you may not have the name. Some people haven't done that awarding yet, but you should indicate, yes, that for the project you're going to use these four people internally. This is who they are. These are their qualifications, and this is what they're going to do in the project. And then if you're going to use a contractor to develop different pieces, yes, you should indicate that.
Is it okay to use position titles, or get down to the names of the people that are actually working on the project?
I think they prefer to have the names in there, if and if you haven't hired them or something, then you can say that we're in the process of procuring a person, and they will have these qualifications.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for asking and kind of keeping my toes here. I really need to get that 424 form and bring it in here. Thank you.
And we'll be providing more information in relation to this series of questions in the FAQs, which will be posted to the website next week. So for a little bit, for kind of a summary of what we just talked about and to have that on paper, go ahead and look out for that form next week.
Thank you.
So we did get some more questions in through the chat box. Let me just pull that. And Juan also did provide in the chat box a link to previous Exchange Network grants. So some of, kind of referring back to your first question, there should be some relevant examples in there if you follow the link that Juan provided.
And those are short summaries. They're not applications. They're just short summaries of grants. And I believe it goes back many years. Just go all the way to the beginning? Or
many years.
Many years. So you can see the kinds of things that have been awarded.
Okay. So we have a question in reference to eligible activities. Would primacy transition from SIDWIS/state to SIDWIS Prime activities be a project which would be eligible for an EN grant?
Primacy transition. We have, if you take a look in their opportunities, which again, can you hand that to me?
Sure.
I don't understand. Somebody has put up a.
Everyone, we're going to try to see if we can mute on our end.
Do you mean Prime? If you're talking about the state system, SIDWIS Prime system, those are eligible, but I'm not sure what you mean by Prime. From SIDWIS State to SIDWIS Prime, yes, there are a whole slew of activities that are eligible for an EN grant. And you would have to go into Appendix B under SIDWIS to see what they're paying for at this point. And I apologize that I don't know that by heart, which I probably should. But there's a whole slew of things that people are doing to transition from SIDWIS State to SIDWIS Prime. Do you have the page number on that? It's in Appendix A.
This is the SIDWIS opportunity.
And we'll make sure, let me just take a look.
Really small text.
It's okay. I have my glasses here, guys. So here you go, guys. Here's what's eligible, they're saying, for activities this year. It's on page 831, developing primacy agency-specific transition plan for CMPD in conjunction with or following transition to SIDWIS Prime. developing primacy agency-specific user training for CMP, repurpose legacy SIDWIS data. I'm just skipping down here to where I think repurposing SIDWIS state database as a local data store at an intermediary between SIDWIS Prime and Primacy Agency interfacing application and configure VES, Virtual Exchange Services for data replication. So there are, this is pretty specific, so you need to see if this is what you're talking about. Repurpose legacy SIDWIS state database as a local data store as an intermediary between SIDWIS Prime and Primacy Agency interfacing application and configure Virtual Exchange Service for data replication for primacy agencies using a system other than SIDWIS state. So it could be SIDWIS state or your own individual state system. Mapping non-SIDWIS state compliant systems to SIDWIS state volume 3.3 structure. So that's what they have in there for the opportunity.
Yeah, and he's typing at the moment, so he might have a follow-up question.
Okay, and we can always check that out if we can't answer it.
Yeah, he says, yes, thank you. What is the source of the information? Could you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Within our solicitation notice?
Yeah, if you go to our website, do we have it on this, on our invitation as well? Okay, Juan's going to send the link, guys. You have to go into the solicitation notice, and in the solicitation notice, this is in Appendix A. It's a safe drinking water information system appendix, part of Appendix A. And in my version, it's A22 and A23.
But we also will refer back to this question in the FAQs with this information of where we're sourcing this from, Dave.
So does that help, Seth?
That was Dave.
I mean, Dave Fox, I'm sorry. Will you hit *6? Is that?
No, he says, oh. He says that that was what he was looking
okay.
for.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sorry.
Do we have any other questions, either on the line or through the chat box? Okay, and yep, and Juan has provided that link that will take you directly to our solicitation notice. Is there anything else we can answer for people? I'm going to go ahead and pull up our contact page as well so that if you do think of questions in the future, this is something that you can direct towards our contacts. If it's something that we can answer for you, something that we can clarify, we will do that. And then we will also be sure to get those posted in our FAQs because it's a question that you have. There's probably other applicants that are wondering it as well, so we want to make sure that all of that information is available in one place. Let's see here. So we have a question from Erin. Do we need to submit resumes of key personnel?
You can provide the resumes. People are putting that as appendices. That is not bad a thing to do. But make sure it's in the back. If there's clarification, people might look at that. But what you want is the short summaries within the 10-page narrative. And most people do submit resumes. But you're not going to be dinged on that.
Mm-hmm. So if it's something that's possible to do, please do that. Add it in as an appendancy, but it's not a requirement. We have about 10 more minutes if anybody has any questions. I do want to just throw it out there. We have one more of these webinars. It's going to cover the same information as I mentioned earlier. That'll be next Wednesday, March 20th, and we're going to be holding that from 12:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you weren't able to join us for the full webinar today, or if you have people that you think this would be useful to and you want to direct them to that, please do so. It's going to be the exact same Adobe Connect link and the same dial-in number for the audio. So if you want to spread that information along, please do so. That is also available on our Exchange Network website, which is just epa.gov/Exchange Network. It looks like that is the end of our questions today. Thank you so much for joining us. I know it's a Friday, so there's a lot of information that we covered, but we hope that it was helpful. Feel free to reach out if you need to do so, and remember that application deadline is April 8th.